Denmark, go to Box Zero CD Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News of Mondo Boys.
Come to me now.
Sheryl Crow singing at a prayer vigil in Nashville, the community coming together to remember the 6 lives lost in that school shooting.
To the parents, the friends, the families of those we lost, you are not alone. A grieving city joins you. A grieving country.
Mayor John Cooper, a shouting match on the House floor over gun control. ABC didn't feel.
He blasted anger at Republicans in action on guns for several minutes. Democratic Representative and former educator Jamal Bowman shutting down Republican Thomas Massey, who said the answer to school shootings is arming more teachers.
Every school that's allowed it has never had a shooting.
It's unlikely the Republican majority House will pass any new gun controls.
Pope Francis has been hospitalized with a respiratory infection. This is ABC News. More drama for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star. Federal prosecutors in New York yesterday asking a judge to order Jennifer Shaw to turn over her diamond-encrusted jewelry to help satisfy the $6.5 million she owes as part of her conspiracy conviction. She's serving federal prison time for running a years-long telemarketing fraud that preyed mainly on the elderly. City of Amsterdam with a strong message for British men between the ages of 18 and 35. ABC's Anessa Locatero.
Online ads targeting British men between the ages of 18 to 35, urging them to behave in Amsterdam or stay home. Warning that a long weekend in the city may create the wrong kind of memories, and that the escapism that tourists crave could result in arrest and jail time. The initiative forms part of efforts to clean up Amsterdam's raunchy reputation as Europe's most liberal party capital. Critics argue the targeted ad campaigns are discriminatory and based on unfair stereotypes. In this Secretary, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the Green Gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out Under the Helmet with the Great Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday to Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else. It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special Ask Bells Wisconsin. And at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
The election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you're age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and Gay Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on learning how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and AI Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah! So much rain for me, and I want to go outside. I want to be.
We're here!
Oh, that was fast!
This is the floor
force closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org, brought to you by the USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention and training, and then the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
About students voting, we're talking about young people voting, what's motivating them to vote or not.
Can't complain if we don't do anything about it, so vote, please.
We do expect it to help save our democracy.
Yes, save the democracy. Save the
map.
And the climate.
And just
world.
A couple of other things. Look,
fasting forward one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bryan with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! So, if you were to match with someone on a dating app and their opening line was, hey, are you voting? So that you immediately unmatch with that person and you're like, oh yeah, I see you. I'm into this. That is the theory of a new program that Next Gen America has been launching. Next Gen is the nation's largest youth voting organization using innovative digital and field strategies to turn out young voters in key states like Wisconsin. And our guest for this segment is Next Gen's National Press Secretary, Christy Johnson. How are you doing, Christy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You got the memo that you're wearing the Green Bay Packer fleece that you need to be talking to some Wisconsin folks.
Well, no, I'm a Packer fan. I've been a Packer fan since I was born. And this is one of my outfits for one of my pictures. So.
Do you have feelings about Aaron Rodgers pending?
It's been interesting. I've been talking to a lot of matches about this. It's one of my promises. What if I told you that Aaron Rodgers might leave you, but I never would? Conversations have opened up around that. I think it's very sweet. I grew up watching him and still a big fan, but I think it's a different time for him to go.
I'm immunized for breaking your heart.
I know, right? Well, I was like, I'm looking for somebody like Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love has a girlfriend, but maybe somebody is similar to him.
That's hilarious. All right, so tell us about this program, because I think I understand what you guys are doing, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Okay, great. Yeah, so this is my program. I launched in Arizona for Next Gen in 2020. We piloted it there when we went to all virtual organizing because of the pandemic. Last year, we brought it to the national program for the midterms. This year, we just launched the national program again last week, starting with organizing in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. So Hinge is the app that we're using right now because that's the only app you can change your location for free. So we have boots on the ground in Madison, in Green Bay, and in Milwaukee, but a lot of our organizers are changing their locations to Wisconsin to make that connection and then also get them what they need to vote.
So basically, so if I'm understanding this correctly, you are on the app, you're swiping along, and
I'm in the trenches of Madison. Right
I'm sure
now,
you have some interesting stories as far as some of the profiles you've come across. You're swiping along. You match with someone, and is the opening line, do you immediately go to the questions about voting, or is there a little small talk ahead of time? And, like, how often are people also, like, what the heck? Like, really caught off guard, and this is not where they thought the conversation was going to go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for me, a lot of my conversations have opened up about the Packers, and then I, you know, tie them into how I'm feeling, my stress around the election, and if they're feeling a certain way about Aaron Rodgers leaving, I'll be like, yeah, I'm pretty upset too right now with like what's going on with reproductive rights. Like, we also might not, you know, it's just tying it in that kind of relational organizing way has been the most effective for me. But our main goal, we've been sending them the link to our Wisconsin voting hub, which they can check their registration, they can find their polling place, they can see what's on the ballot. So giving them the resources that they need. I haven't tallied yet, but I've had a lot of pledges come my way. I thought at first I was going to get like unmatched or blocked or something, but they're like, yep, got it done. Like, hey, what are we getting drinks now? And I'm like, I'll get back to you. But yeah, I do have a few virtual drinks lined up. I do have a ticket to a Packers game.
Okay. With the date you met?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I was talking to you yesterday. He was like, this is the second time you mentioned that. So I think I'm going to have to take you down. So. And as long as I can get my NFL to Green Bay, I'll get to go to the Packers game.
So how often are these conversations, I mean, you can answer anecdotally, because I'm sure you're not tracking how each conversation is going, but I guess how many are actually in the could lead to dates and matches versus how much is really like, yeah, I don't really want to match with you, I'm just trying to get you to vote.
Right, I mean, so either I've been matching with people I either think I would go on a date with, or they see something interesting in their opening line. So I'm not doing it for the numbers. I'm doing it to find a connection, as well as, you know, get them to vote as well. So yeah, that's kind of been my method around it.
And how many people are do like in, like on the ground, either in Wisconsin or people you said like they could? And I actually quit joke about changing your location. This is how I met my husband. Because I had not yet moved to Milwaukee yet. I was still in Wisconsin Rapids, but I wanted to scope out the guys in Milwaukee. And Hinge was the only one you could do, because the rest of them are geolocation. Where are you currently? Yeah. And so he was like, hey, can I take you out? And I go, well, I can in 6 weeks when I actually move to Milwaukee.
See, there you go. I don't really have competition anymore. I have a few people calling me out for that. Maybe some of them are watching right now because they looked up my social media. But yeah, a lot of them, you know, kind of quickly find out my role. I do have it on my profile that I'm an organizer for Next Gen. So some of my initial like messages to people will be like, did she think I'm cute, or is she just trying to get me to vote? Or, you know, what are your intentions here? And clear about, you know, I love Wisconsin boys, and I really want them to vote, so that's what I'm here for.
We're great.
You are great.
They're great. Yeah, I've only had one or two AP situations, but everybody, like, so nice, way nice to make California boys, so I could very well see myself moving to Madison very soon.
Absolutely.
We were on tour with Bernie. Next one was for the election. We went to Madison and Claire and Lacrosse, and I was like, these are the nicest people I've ever met, which I had my Hinge on during that time. But yeah, definitely a breath of fresh air.
And we'll bring you a casserole.
Yeah. I haven't offered a casserole yet. So.
But no, just maybe the age range is off. That's right now. Yeah. That's your 20 something.
You just call me old?
Well,
all
right. You're not 20 something.
True.
That's what's great about dating app organizing too, because our demographic in Next Gen is reaching 18 to 35 year olds. So on dating apps, we're able to toggle our age range to that. So I think you're around, what, 30, 33, right?
You are amazing. And
I'm going to see you all there.
I know you both.
We're talking to Next Gen's National Press Secretary, Kristi Johnson, about their dating apps used to court the vote ahead of our election. Ooh. It's their pun, not mine. Our election is in 6 days. And so I guess on top of the dating apps, what are the other kind of programs the Next Gen is employing in this very, as so many, I just keep seeing headlines from national outlets saying, this is the most important race that you know nothing about. And we all know that because we talk about it all the time. But what are the other programs or, you know, initiatives that you guys have going on in the last 6 days?
Yeah, and starting with course too, because I get so defensive about this when my matches are like, well, what, you're not even able to live here. I'm like, we've been here since 2017. We've had boots on the ground. We've had the infrastructure to build to this moment. So it's not like it's a national org, you know, coming in and doing this organizing. Now we've been in Wisconsin getting the visa to vote. So we've been here since 2017, but in the next 2 days, we have a GOTV event with Adela Barnes, Madison. We also are making 1.1 million texts and calls to voters aged 18 to 35. So our dating app organizing is complementary to all the other efforts that we're doing. But for me, I feel like I'm in the trenches. Instead of like a text or a call, I'm able to actually hear what young Wisconsinites are saying. I get to actually feel the pulse of what's happening. So it's been really cool for me to get those connections so far.
Christy, is my hope misplaced that the young people are going to save our democracy in this next election on April 4th?
No, I mean, if anything, you saw precedent set by the last election when we had historic vote turnout in Wisconsin. They literally elected Governor Evers. He won by 3%, and young people voted for him 70% over 30 to the Republican challenger. So that was one of the key races that we were looking at when we were evaluating the impact of the youth vote in the last election. Wisconsin, young people in Wisconsin know the stakes of this election. That's why I've identified on dating apps too. And my job is just to make sure they have the resources to cast their ballot. So I don't think your hope is misplaced. I think it's right on the nose.
And it's interesting because you said it's 18 to 35.
Yes.
That's a pretty big age range.
Yeah.
Because, and I've felt in my, you know, the way I talk about things, I feel like, granted, I'm just outside of that age range. I'm 36. And so, but what works or what resonates have you found with the, 18 to 22 still in college folks versus people in their 30s, versus even people in their late 20s? Because those are three very different stages of your life that I would imagine the importance, I think for most, a lot of us, it changes over time, our relationship with politics, our relationship with our government. And so what, I don't want to say tactics, because that feels really superficial, but I guess kind of, as far as messaging or tactics that work with that coveted age group that both advertisers and get out the vote people and campaigns, it's what do the Gen Z 18, 22 year olds, what do they want or what are they responding to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that based off of my Hinge. I'm not talking to any college boys. I think I've had that experience, and I'll leave it there. So I don't know specifically for Hinge. Not even going to go there. But for our college organizing, we do dorm storms and making sure that we're tabling and have clipboards and things like that on campuses. But outside of that, Gen Z loves TikTok. I think I'm going to do a few TikToks around my dating app organizing. Maybe we'll reach an audience there, but maybe another love connection. I have about three boyfriends right now in each Wisconsin state, so I don't
have any more long.
I think I need to prioritize it. I got my Packers game. I need to just get my personal to-do list down, and then we'll go from there. But it's been a lot. Being in the digital space as much as you can. Last year, NextGen launched an athlete influencer program, which was really cool. It was the first time it was the after the name image likeness thing. We were able to support college athletes to be messengers for us, to use their social media platforms to get their resources out there to young voters. So things like that.
All right. Well, National Press Secretary for Next Gen America, Christy Johnson, thank you for spending time with us. I'm excited to follow up and hear how those dates go. Post-election, once we get you back to Wisconsin.
She called me 33, I'm fine.
Yes. Greg's in love with you forever.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is As Good as Wisconsin.
Eric was
him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday, Sunday at 1 on Civic Media. The Civic Media app.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country with candidates.
for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote and tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special Ask Elst Wisconsin.
And at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought by AARP and the Ad Council.
She is Jay Nadinair, and he is 33-year-old Greg Bach.
Apparently 33-year-old single Greg Bach.
That too. It's interesting. So we were just talking to the National Press Secretary for Next Gen America, which is a youth voting, the largest youth voting organization. And I remember seeing, I think it was 2018, because I remember, I'm part of the group that I think 2016 happened, that election happened, I got very motivated and activated into politics. And I think there was thousands of us who that was like a turning point of...
That was the trigger.
Yeah, like, I kind of pay attention to like, oh, I need to pay attention. And I remember, so like the next big election after that was the 2018 midterms, and I was very involved, I was consuming a lot of information, and I remember some, let's say... political influencer types using that tactic back in 2018. But it was not like an organized thing. It was one creator I remember posting, and I think she, I don't know what the threshold of viral is anymore, but she got picked up by BuzzFeed and all these different outlets because she, on her social media, posted some of the screenshots with like names and pictures blurred out of the conversations she was having on dating apps. And, it was this revolutionary thing. And now you see this organization, like, actually systemizing it into their program. And it sounds like, at least the way Christy talked about it, that there's not too many people who are upset
no.
by it. But it's a little catfishy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for voting. I'm all for getting... I'd be like, okay. I'd be sad. I would just be like, oh, are you voting? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to vote. Cool. You pledged to vote? Sure. Bye. Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of like meeting someone that you think is really hot, and then they're really nice to you and pay you all kinds of attention, and then you realize they're trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner.
Has that happened to you, Jane?
No.
That was a very quick answer there.
But you know what I mean? It's kind of like... I feel a little lured.
Yeah. I mean, I love the ultimate goal. I love the fact that people are having a great response, too. I'm sure there are people out there who have their hyperbolic opinions, and that's fine. And I'm glad that people are voting and they're pledging to vote, but I just can't stop thinking about 33-year-old single Greg, if he was on the app and he...
That's a really cute girl.
There's a really cute girl. And she's into voting? And she's into politics?
Well, but she doesn't live here.
But she doesn't live here. Hey,
she lives in California.
Excuse me. I grew up on America Online, fine with long-distance relationships. it wouldn't make me like, oh.
I think we're not going to have enough time to really get into this, so maybe we'll revisit it either at the end of the show or at a different date. Because when we come back, in the next segment, we're going to be talking to researcher Don Kramer from Wisconsin Policy Forum about the new why more Wisconsin schools have turned to emergency licenses because of our teacher shortage. So we'll try to wrap up in this segment, but I think it kind of brings up the question of by any means necessary to get out the vote. And this is not that extreme. You're not...
Yeah.
Bribing people, you're not electioneering, it's not promising sex. You're not promising sex, but as far as, because it was a similar, and I think some of these apps still are around too, but similarly in 2018, apps started popping up that would, you download it, it would go through your phone and look at all of your contacts and match it up with public records of whether or not they voted, what elections they voted in, and in states where you register for a party, which we don't in Wisconsin, but I think I was in New York at the time, and you did it there. And you could see what party they were registered as and whether or not they voted. And so it would be like you able then to go through and see your contact list and give a little nudge to remind people to vote. And, that was another technology app that I think got a lot of hype in 2018. But again, people were like, this feels a little invasive. Mm-hmm. And I think it begs the question, is there a line as far as motivating, encouraging, pressuring the people in your life or strangers on a dating app to make sure they're registered and make sure they vote?
I think it goes along with what you're just saying. I think if you're motivating and you're encouraging, that's great. As long as you're not promising anything or putting yourself in danger. Like when she said she's coming for a party, I'm like, girl!
That's a commitment. That's a really big commitment for a first date. Yes, those days are long.
Yeah. You have a friend coming with you because, that too. Football is a long endeavor in and of itself.
Like, dating at first dates, coffee, one drink, not even dinner. Yeah, dinner's too long.
If she's coming for a Packer game, we might have to go with her.
Yeah. Lambo is a spell with an O at the end. He's not taking you to the field. These are fake tickets.
But, I just think it's interesting. Like, I applaud them for being innovative, or how do you pronounce it?
Innovative. Shut up, Jane.
But,
I don't like the fact that, one, you laughed off mic, and then you turned your mic up to laugh more.
I just think it's funny because I can't even replicate how you say innovative.
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 I'm barely a high school graduate. Come on now.
But I'm going to say it my way. Innovative way to approach this. I'm just interested on the other side of just, getting the pledge, and if people are not feeling a little used and abused. She was very cute.
She was very, but she's up front. I mean, there's no. I don't think what she's doing is catfishing at all, because I've seen the horrors of that. But I can see how someone might be like, oh, yeah, I'll vote. Because that was me. I was single.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking to researcher Don Kramer from the Wisconsin Policy Forum about his new report on Wisconsin schools turning to emergency teaching licenses amid teacher shortages. Stay tuned. This is As It Goes Wisconsin.
The show.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News and the Lionel Moyes.
Come to me now.
Sheryl Crow singing at a prayer vigil in Nashville. The community coming together to remember the 6 lives lost in that school shooting.
To the parents, the friends, the families of those we lost, you are not alone. A grieving city joins you. A grieving country.
Mayor John Cooper. A shouting match on the House floor over gun control. ABC didn't feel.
He blasted anger at Republicans in action on guns for several minutes.
What are they talking about? Nothing! They don't have a
Democratic Representative and former educator Jamal Bowman shouting down Republican Thomas Massie, who said the answer to school shootings is arming more teachers.
Every school that's allowed it has never had a shooting.
It's unlikely the Republican majority House will pass any new gun controls.
Pope Francis has been hospitalized with a respiratory infection. This is ABC News.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kids. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the grand goal.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with a Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This re-election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote and tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special Ask Us Wisconsin.
At 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you're age 80 or under. Veterans can apply and receive an instant decision and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad that's scary, but if it is an ad, it makes you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bride. She is Jane Mettenair. Greg Bach does not like the parody song of All Night to Get Data. He wanted it to be the original.
Yeah.
You're disappointed.
I love Daft Punk. I had a Daft Punk tattoo, and that really hurt my feelings.
But that song means that we are doing another edition of Summarizing Wisconsin Policy Forum Reports, because only nerds read Wisconsin Policy Forum Reports. And this time, I'm going to say nerds lovingly, Don Kramer, because I certainly read Wisconsin Policy Forum Reports. And so we're talking to researcher Don Kramer on his new reports that, on one hand, I don't think any of us are surprised that we have a teacher shortage, but you also found the alarming spike of emergency licenses that are being given out to basically deal with the fact that we have a teacher shortage, right?
Yeah, and it's not a spike. This has been going on for the last 10 years. We see that the licenses have gone up from about 1,000 from about 10 years ago to about 3,000 emergency licenses in 2022. So it's not a COVID thing.
Yeah.
This is a slow increase over the years.
So I guess for those of us who are unfamiliar with, what does it take to just get your teaching license, not the emergency one, but just a teaching license in Wisconsin?
Right. So for a teaching license, you know, usually you go to college for 4 years and you take classes on, you know, how to be a teacher of pedagogy and how to teach things. And then usually if, you know, if you're in early education, you're talking about the development of children, or if you're a math teacher, you're going to be taking math classes, science teacher, you're going to take science classes. And usually there's some experience that you have to do too, being a student teacher. So, you know, there's requirements like that for any degree, but then also to get this teaching license, you know, it's usually a multi-year process.
And then compare that to, what is an emergency license, and what does it take to get that?
So the emergency license, first off, I should say, that's something schools call it, it's something teachers call it, but DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, calls it a license with stipulations. So okay. It may be unfair that we're calling it an emergency license, because that's not what DPI calls it, but everyone calls it an emergency license. To do that, the types of people that get emergency licenses, this is something that needs to be done. Sometimes you've got someone moving from out of state, and they've got a license in Illinois, but they need to do something for Wisconsin. So they need an emergency license for a year. Or maybe someone's an elementary teacher, and they're becoming a reading teacher, and they have to get a specific, you know, class under their belt or something like that. So there's situations like that where, you know, we need a short-term license. But also, it's one of the situations, a very common situations now, is a school needs someone to fill a role. They don't have anyone that's certified. They find someone with a bachelor's degree, and they can apply for this emergency license from DPI to have someone with a bachelor's degree. That would be the minimum, I think, to get that emergency license, and the district is asking for that.
So it's basically, you still have your bachelor's, but not necessarily the hours spent or the certain certifications in the specialty that you're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So sometimes it's not anything related to what you're teaching also. So.
And so as we see an increase of these, like, what is the process once you have, so say you get this emergency license or a license with stipulation, is the intention then that you go get those, that extra criteria or those extra certifications, and then reapply to get like a long-term license?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not, and that's what's sort of tough about this, is the data doesn't tell you that. If someone's just filling in for a year because the school needs a reading teacher before they get a long-term one, well, I don't know if anyone's really intending that elementary teacher to like go back to school and get those classes, but if you're looking for a long-term solution, then I guess you would be expecting these people that don't have backgrounds in education to be taking some sort of class in an alternative certification program. Oftentimes they're meeting at night after school and getting the long-term degree. I should also say at this point, I've been working for the firm for a couple months. Prior to this, I was a high school math teacher for 10 years. And I got an emergency license back in 2008. So
you're familiar with the process, yeah.
So I'm not necessarily, some of this is just very anecdotal from my experience, as opposed to like what's actually in the data. So I shouldn't give that comment.
But one of the things you said, that it feels like, and maybe in looking at the data, because some of the conclusions it seems that they're being drawn is, this is, whether good or bad, or no, like objectively, this is just a solution right now, because over the last 10 years, and like you said, it's not necessarily a COVID thing. I would say speculation that it was maybe an Act 10 thing, and the shifting attitudes towards teachers that we don't have to, I said that, not you. and that we have a problem with having enough teachers. And so, and I've heard this argument from other administrators that there is some contingency that thinks that to solve this, it's not only just these emergency licenses, but in general, lowering the requirements to get licenses. And so, in whether it's anecdotal or in the data, like how much is this a viable long-term solution until we have more recruitment of people who want to go into teaching long-term?
Right. Like, and that's what we're sort of seeing in the data, just because we're seeing people applying for licenses multiple years in a row. So it seems like we're using the emergency license program not just for 1 year fix, but it's sort of the way that people are getting a license for 2 or 3 years while they're getting their training. It just seems that way, because I don't know why else it would take you 2 or 3 years. That's not just a quick fix. It seems like people are getting their long-term training under the emergency license program.
Interesting. We're talking to Don Kramer, who's a researcher at Wisconsin Policy Forum, about his new report looking at the data saying that Wisconsin schools are turning to emergency teaching licenses basically as a solution to the teacher shortage. And so, Don, with where are we seeing this? I know it's statewide, but as far as is there other patterns as far as where this is happening more or less?
So we were looking into that right off the bat, because we do hear a lot of, when I was interviewing individual districts, everyone seems like they're struggling more than others, but it is all over. We oftentimes break down school districts by urban, suburban, town, and rural. And so, the urban districts have more openings. They have more, applicants, but they also just have more openings in general. A lot of times you hear rural districts saying, we can't get anyone to apply for this one opening. So everyone's sort of struggling with this overall. Now, in general, historically, urban districts have more emergency licenses than the other three categories. But the actual increase has been steady in all four categories.
Oh, wow.
So,
Don, as a former teacher yourself, I don't know about you, I am still really ticked off about the way our teachers were demonized under a certain administration and how commonplace that became. And that certainly has, I realize this may not be reflected in your data, but that has to be part of the reason why fewer people want to go into education.
We do talk about this, as a pipeline paper. We can't talk about the whole pipeline of why people don't enter the profession and why they're leaving it, but it definitely seems like a band-aid along that pipeline. And sometimes we talk about, how do we talk about, or we discuss, how does society deal with teachers or think about teachers? And is this a cultural problem?
Well, because, and you can correct me because some of the things I've seen and read is there's still a lot of people who want to go into teaching, but it's people staying. It's like, the people who you hear, when I grew up, having teachers who've been doing it 30, their entire life, and it's the burnout now of, it's one thing to recruit and have people who have that idealistic, I want to be a teacher. There's still, I think, still a lot of those people, but it's the reality of what's there once you get there, and I feel like that, whether we loosen licensing and what criteria goes into that, or we have more of these emergency licenses, that doesn't help the burnout problem or the lifestyle of I can't do this, no matter who you let become a teacher, right?
Absolutely. We were talking about that with emergency licenses, too. If these people are, this is their training while they're working also, how tough that must be to be a brand new teacher and take night classes, and how do districts support those individuals so that they don't burn out after 1 year?
Did you come up with anything?
Pizza party!
parties! And so I guess what motivated you, is it because you were a teacher? Is that one of the motivations you had to start looking into this? Now that you've been
actually about. We have a year-long project going on with just teacher turnover in general. We have a student, a fellow that's working on that, and she keeps coming across this issue. And when we saw the numbers, triple in 10 years, we're like, oh, there's a story here, And even if it's not us, a juicy story, there's something here that this is telling.
It is telling. When I saw the headline as far as I saw the report, it was this feels complimentary to everything else that we're hearing. As far as, I feel like every couple of weeks there is another headline in Wisconsin, whether it's at the district level or the state level, of we have a shortage of teachers, and that is going to be a bigger and bigger problem. And on the, and that's tied with school districts and a bunch of other things. But I guess as far as with this report, or even with other things, other reports and research you guys are doing, what are some of the biggest takeaways right now as far as being suggestions or proposals or things that I would imagine that this is not, the DPI would look at something like this and be like, we know we have to fix this. And so, like, how, what is the reception then of even stuff that you put out already? Or, like, what do you think people should be taking away from this?
I'm hoping that, just because we are seeing so much renewals, that if this is a way that people are being trained to become teachers, I'm hoping districts are thinking about that. Who in their building currently needs more support? And that might be just being exposed to different methodologies of teaching or different philosophies. And maybe they won't even do it, but just to have that background information, if they need more mentorship. I'm definitely thinking of this more as like a district by district, how do they approach the issue as opposed to DPI. However, DPI does have an option for a 3-year license with stipulations. That's usually someone that already has a license and they're trying to work towards another one. So we were thinking, you know, is that an option? If DPI already thinks about some people on a 3-year plan, could they sort of start approaching people with no teaching background, and how do they support those people, you know, if they're already thinking on a 3-year program?
And I guess this is more of an opinion question than a data question, because I think about this in all the different shortages we have of professional degrees right now, whether it's nursing and mental health and public defenders, and there's so many different things. Do you feel like you can, having been a teacher, that this is something that is not necessarily like a medical degree of some sort, that you can get on the job training and still be good at your job? Like, is that a viable way of thinking, or is it something like, no, we should have these standards still?
Absolutely. And also, I thought it was helpful that I had work experience before I was in a classroom, just because I could talk about, you know, I taught math and like the quadratic equation. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's cool. It is cool.
I knew it!
But, yeah, like, but statistics, like, schools aren't teaching stats as much as they should. That's something that
is useful.
Used in work all the time.
Yeah. Well, so, super interesting. I'm excited to see what other research you guys continue to work on. We'll have to have you back soon. But thanks so much for spending time with us, Don.
Thank you very much. This has been great.
Yes, absolutely. So Don Kramer is a researcher at Wisconsin Policy Forum. We will link that report in our show notes for today at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. Thank you so much, Don. All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote, then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
And at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the civic media app.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Here's the fun treat for your Easter celebration, cherry elk sausage and port wine cheese spread.
You can order them at civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Monday.
Oh,
is that not the best
story.
That might be half the reason why I go now.
I mean, it's they won 18,470. I didn't realize the 50-50 raffle was that much money.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes.
Holy. Is that dollars? It's Dolores. Is that per game, or is that over the course of the entire season?
That's per game. So yeah, they'll. I mean, if you have a sold out game and they see about 41,000, you can walk out there with like 20 grand if you win. If everyone bought a ticket, that is.
And so that is, they won that chunk of money, and just their little miracle Brewers baby.
Did they name him Brewery?
What did they name him? They named him Foster, and they're gonna call him Fozzie. Murphy, and he was born February 22nd, 2023, and so I'm sure they'll have him with his little newborn
headphones
on, because it'll be loud,
which is so adorable,
but
and Monday is not looking too bad either if you are going to the Brewers Hall over 53 degrees and sunny.
So because one point they said scattered showers, no more scattered showers?
Maybe in the morning, but Noel right now says Monday, 20% chance of rain.
Who cares? You got a roof.
That's 20,
true. It's more of a tailgating. Did you go last year?
I did not. I've been going to a home opener since 2018.
Last year, I went. It was my first home opener ever. And I didn't grow up down here. And so we didn't go from Madison. And like, let's go to Milwaukee for the home opener. We're not enough of a baseball family to do that. So I was really excited for my first, opening day. And once we got inside, it was fun. The wind last year was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life as far as trying to be outside.
Yeah.
And there was enough people who were doing it. Granted, it took a lot of booze to like withstand and keep being outside.
Once the doors open,
it's like, why would you not go inside? This is miserable.
I can't stay. Like, I love a good tailgating, but once the game's starting, I'm an old man. These people who are like, we'll go to the third or fourth. I'm like, no. I didn't pay money to watch you cook a hot dog poorly. I'm going inside to watch baseball.
Do you have strong feelings about how much they're trying to speed up the game?
Yes. Yes.
Pro? Con?
Con.
Not liking it.
Not liking anything they're doing. Leave it alone. This is the only... Folks, this is the only place where I get conservative here. Baseball. I don't like this whole put a guy on second when there's a tie. I don't like this whole seven innings for a doubleheader. I don't like any of this stuff. Any of it. Leave it alone.
Get off my lawn.
Leave it alone. You want to change something? Change me.
God.
Yeah, No, leave it alone.
Okay.
It's worked for 200 years.
But they're saying it's not working. They're not competing. They're not getting new viewership.
Yeah, but I don't think these little changes are going to make a difference.
Okay.
I don't think making the game a half an hour or less makes a difference. People still watch football for 3 hours. Good Lord.
All right. Well, on that delightful sound noise, we are going to take a break from the top of the hour news. When we come back, comedian AJ Grill will be here, and we're going to talk to him about his album, doing comedy in Milwaukee and across the country. Stay tuned. This is Ethos Madison.
Listening to the Talk of the Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Margaret Malone.